Hello, and welcome to the Awesome Comics Podcast, a place where small press, comics, and beyond make one hell of a noise. It's episode 132, and I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mask from Mars, and joining me this week are the creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
Every week, Dan, you say hello in just a different tone, and it throws me every time, and Tony laughs every time. Yes, yes.
You added something to the intro there, and beyond.
He did.
Well, anyway,
he changes it up every so often.
Yeah, it's true.
Fresh.
And that lovely sensual voice you can hear there is the secret ingredient that makes every show even more delicious. It's Mr. Tony Esmond.
I'm the jam in this show, aren't I? In this sandwich.
Oh, what type of jam?
Well, we've got a little room. We're sharing a room, aren't we? At True Believers, all the three of us.
What's that got to do with jam?
Well, I'll be jamming myself up.
All I can say is he's clearly seedless. Oh, how many minutes?
Well, imagine if we all three of us had a baby together. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Oh, God.
Be a monstrosity. It'd
be like a three-man baby.
Oh, we've got to try and recreate that video cover, haven't we, at some point?
Who would be Gutenberg?
What are you talking about? I'm Gutenberg, obviously.
Yeah, you're clearly Gutenberg. That means Dan Butcher's Ted Danson, because I'm clearly Selleck.
You're Selleck. Yeah. Oh, Vince Magnum.
Yeah. The only way I'm like Magnum is the bloody ice cream. Right. As you can tell, folks, it's going to be a fun one this week. And we've got a very special guest. We're also joined by someone who's making quite a noise on the small press and indie scene.
Yes.
Yep.
He's the brains behind the awesome website and now indie comic app that you hear me make an awful mess of the ads every week. Yes, Comic House. It's Mr. Pete Jeanpool. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you all?
Hey, Pete.
Good, man. Yeah.
I did think this entire episode would be Pete sort of grilling us over the awful ads. he quite likes them, so that's fine.
It's way forward. It's the new face of advertising, I think, that you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hope not.
A lack of professionalism.
Have you seen Sky News?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You didn't think any worse than that, did it? Let's face it.
Yeah, but it's good to know that our sponsorship ads are going down well.
Yeah. I appreciate you mentioning it each week, gents, and it's really helping getting the ball rolling with it all. So thank you. I really appreciate
good.
It.
Good.
And thanks for having me on today.
That's
no, right. Pleasure.
Yeah, brilliant. You've got the coolest surname in the world, so we had to have you on.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, as you're on the show, we're not going to do an ad this week, so...
Thank fuck.
No, we felt, as we got Pete on the show, and lots of people want to know more about Comic House, so to actually get some actual information... rather than me just trying to do a sponsorship ad without completely ruining it, or want Tony or Dan chirping in with something to put me off, we'll actually get some decent information and people will find out even more about the amazing stuff on Comic House.
Because I don't have to WhatsApp you a picture of my arse today, do I? Just because I know we're not doing it.
No. Why do you do that every day?
Yeah, got to be regular, ain't you?
That's true. It's true. Yes. So it's just going to be a comic chat with the lovely Pete joining us. So, and I know a lot of our listeners would like to know more about Comic House. So let's start at the beginning, shall we? I'm not going to ask you to pitch it to us because
I missed that so much.
Enough. Do you know what I do as well? I don't think there was anything wrong with
it. Do it again next. Yeah. Let's do. How about when we do True Believers, when we do our panel, we can do it. Awesome Comics Podcast, pitch it to us. We can do that.
Yeah.
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 I like that idea.
Yeah, let's do that. Oh, we're gangsters, aren't we? But anyway.
I used my spoon with gangster written on it the other day that you got me.
Oh, what did you use
Vince
it
got
for?
Me a spoon. Oh, I had soup. I didn't have Chinese. But the Vince made me a spoon with the word gangster inscribed into it. It's quite cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know when you get someone a gift and you just look at it and think, you're not going to get better than that.
And he got me some Werther's original toffees as well.
It was a quality gift.
Yeah, I think so. Loved it.
See, we're nice.
You melt down the Werther's originals on the spoon and then inject it into the shaft of your penis.
How did we get there?
that's a dark turn, wasn't it? I take it that was Dan.
Yeah. It's funny enough, I was mentioning that we don't talk about hitting our genitals with toffee hammers enough anymore, and then we've gone a bit new age on it, haven't we? Do you know what I mean?
Are toffee hammers still a thing?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I don't suppose you need them anymore. They're quite chewable, aren't they, toffees now?
It does sound like a good name for a band.
Toffee hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be a sort of folky metal band, couldn't you?
Should we talk about some comics?
Comics, yeah.
I know. I think we should stay with the toffee hammer thing. This is gold.
Yeah. Do you have a toffee hammer, Pete?
No. I wasn't aware of them until 5 minutes ago. But I'm going to get one.
Yeah. If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the evening.
All over this land.
I bet. Yeah, that's it.
God, there's so many young kids out there who don't know what we're talking about. Although, if they're young kids, they shouldn't be listening to this show with our potty mouths.
Off doing anal and heroin or something. What do young kids do? Something like that, isn't it? Jesus. I don't know.
Well, don't give them any Werther's Original with heroin.
Scary. Yeah. See them in their cars.
Anyway, comics. And we want to talk about Comic House. So I'm half tempted to get him to pitch it to us, but I'm not going to say this. So
please don't. No. And I like the way you think that I'm going to be able to impart information here. I don't think it's going to happen, but we'll give it a go.
We love our guests when they're fully prepared.
No, but just tell us a bit more about Comic House, as in, like, how did it get started and what made you want to do something stupid like get involved in the world of, like, indie comics?
Well, it is a ridiculous idea. I mean, my day job is music. I've been running a little record label and distribution label for about 12 years. So helping indie artists get their stuff up onto Spotify and iTunes and all that sort of thing, which is great. And I love doing it. And that's my day job, my bread and butter, which is where my Gene Pool name comes from. It's not my actual last name. That's the name of the label.
Oh, okay.
So, but I've always loved comics. And there seemed to be an opportunity to do it with comics as well. We started off the Comic House as just a website with a database and a marketplace for people to put any comic book on, Marvel, DC, indie, whatever. But we decided to kind of just go down and concentrate on the indies a little bit more and give them a bit more of a platform, really, I guess.
Okay. Nice.
How did that come about, though? Because obviously you had the initial idea of just getting comics like onto a database. What made you sort of refine it more to sort of like the indies and stuff? Did you find that you were reading a bit more of that?
I found I was reading a bit more of that. I met up with a lot of indie creators. I mean, the first thing I did is I went to MCM London and went, oh, I'll just go to MCM and just we'll be massive. We'll go around and tell everyone and then job's done. But it's never that easy, is it? But
no.
At MCM, when I was going around, I found Comic Village and I met some really interesting people. James McCulloch was one of them.
Okay.
And Simon Burks from Blue Fox Comics was another. And I stayed in touch with these guys afterwards. And I just basically went up to them and went, hello, my name's Pete, and we're doing this database marketplace thing. And we started to get a lot of indie comic book guys on board. And there was so much talent there that I thought, how do we get the name about more? I know, we'll do a comic book. That can't be that hard, can it? So I thought I just got hold of James and just because we were still in touch after meeting at MCM and said, look, why don't we do this? And he was like, yeah, it's a great idea. So he's co-editing the anthology with me and we both put it together and basically just try to build the brand of Comic House by using the comic book and the website and giving all the indies a bit more of a platform, I guess, was the idea. I mean, it's a ridiculous idea. If you went to you went to Barclays and said this is my business plan, they'd just be like, "On your bark, son." But I'm really enjoying doing it, and I'm quite new to all this. It's only been the last 2 or 3 years where we started all this off. So I know a lot of you guys have been doing this for a long, long time. So it's but it's the music and the comic book industries are very similar.
Right. Okay.
How so? How do you say?
Well, obviously, you're dealing with a lot of creative people, and there's different levels throughout the whole industries. Do you know what I mean?
And cliques as well, I suppose, aren't they?
Exactly. So it's they're very similar in that respect. The only difference being, I suppose, with comic books, there's a lot more of a longer shelf life with comic books. I don't know if you guys have noticed this at all, but obviously with a, in music, with a single or album, you've got a release date, and then the after 3, 4, 6 months, the album starts kind of tailing off and promotion starts tailing off for it.
Right.
With comic book, people seem to just... I mean, I'm still catching up on stuff from 2016, 2017, because they're still out there. Do you know what I mean? They're still being promoted and at the cons and stuff, so...
I mean, are you a comics fan though from years ago, or are you what was floating your boat?
I think for me, when I as a kid, I was growing up with the Beano and the Dandy and all that sort of stuff, and which got me into the more serious stuff. Got me into the 2000 ADs and the Sandmen and stuff like that.
Oh, cool! But yeah,
I think then I worked for a major record label and did my own record label, so I had a kind of maybe 10, 15 years in the wilderness where I lost track of it all. And I'm still catching up now on all the stuff that I missed out on over the years and trying to keep on top of all the new books as well. So I'm loving it at the moment. There's just so much great stuff out there, historically and now to catch up on. So
you look at the way... I mean, I know you mentioned Spotify a minute ago. Did you look at the way that Spotify operates as a sort of base zero to build upon, or was that kind of the idea?
For the app, it was, yeah. I mean, for the app, I thought... I remember when Spotify first started and everyone was like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah. Right.
What, do you know what I mean? What is the point of this? Why you're giving away music to people for a bit of a subscription, and that's just bonkers. But I think artists were really reticent against using it. I know some are now still, but it's become a lot more... I mean, it's in every household now, just about. You know, everyone's using it, and all iTunes or whatever streaming service they want to use. But so I thought, well, let's try to do that with comics. Basically, each year I seem to have another ridiculous idea. The first year was the marketplace. The second year was the anthology, and then it was the app.
Okay.
So next year, who knows what I'm going to be thinking of? But but that was the idea for the Spotify thing. Was I've noticed. I mean, we still make a lot of vinyl for the record label and the distribution and stuff. So people listen to it on Spotify, go and buy the vinyl.
Okay.
Maybe we could replicate that with comics, where people discover the comic book on an app and then buy the print copy, which will be great. So, and spread the word for everyone. That was the idea.
You find a lot of double dippers, don't you? Certainly, I'm someone who will read maybe the single issues digitally, and then I immediately want to buy the trade. I want a physical
hard
copy.
I've done it this week. I caught Morgan up on a load of Savage Dragon, then I went to the shop on Friday and bought a load that I'd read. You know, I don't know why, I like to have the physical version of it, you know?
I did too. I mean, I've had quite a few discussions with people on various Facebook pages and stuff, and they're all going, oh no, not the app, I'm all about the print and stuff like this, and being a bit derogatory about it, but I'm agreeing with them. I'm saying, well, yeah, I love reading print comics as well. The app's a way of discovering the comics first, then go out and by all means, go out and buy the print copy. We're not saying not to do that, but I'm finding a lot of people are buying the print copies, keeping them bagged and boarded, and not wanting to read them, and then reading the digital version, which I quite like the idea of as well, and keeping the
keeping the comic secret and safe.
Dan, go on, mate.
If there's like a US creator, it's taking a punt on me buying a single issue of their comic, paying for the postage over from the States, and it might not be any good whatsoever. So kind of taking the punt and reading it on the app and seeing it's for your cup of tea. I mean, the comic I read this week, the second issue ever, was Morgan's Organs, and I will be back in the third issue on Kickstarter. Hopefully you're slinging one and two on the Kickstarter, because that's great, that comic, and it's through the app I found that.
Yeah, I mean I supported the first Kickstarter on Morgan's Organs as well, and the second one. So I think I did the second one. Yeah, so to have Daniel bringing that on board to the app as well is brilliant. I love it. So it's and you're right, because it's postage costs are so prohibitive at the moment for everybody, and for people in the States as well, to read a load of great British indie comics and then find out which ones they like and take a punt on them and buy them up is... It works all the way around.
Small press is a very regional thing, isn't it, when you look at it?
Yeah.
Even to the point, I would say, that you would probably see different comics in maybe Scotland or Ireland, or, you know, there's definitely different sort of cliques who sell in different areas, you know, because they can't necessarily travel down to London Super Comic Con from Scotland or something, you know.
Totally.
You go to Glasgow Comic Con and there'll be different comics there, you know.
Yeah.
And the States is the extrapolation of that, you know.
you guys know how much how expensive it is to do a con with hotels and table fees and travel and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's definitely quite regionally clicky, and you put that on a worldwide scale, then I'm hoping the app will grow into something where it will be a resource for people to find stuff. And then I don't want to discourage anyone from buying print copies. Do you know what I mean? I mean, we still make print copies of the Comic House Anthology and other titles as well. So yeah, we're loving the print stuff.
I don't know whether this was a plan of yours or not, and I'd be interested to hear what you got to say, Pete. But your app launched during let's call it a dry spell of conventions. So when did it drop? Was it November? Wasn't it?
It was November. Yeah.
And pretty much from November through to February, we haven't had a convention. So people who are out there looking for small press books that generally you find by going to a busy convention, they can find. Was that something you'd planned, or?
I'd love to say yes. I can't bullshit you guys though. It was meant to be August and it was just delayed. So I would love to just go, yeah, I'm so meticulous and planned it all down to the last thing. But no, it just it got put back because we've got the thing with the app is, it's without getting too technical, we've got the website guys, UC4, who are doing all the website stuff, but that's got to be integrated into the app guys stuff, Elixir, another company who's doing the app, and they've got to work together. So it just ran over a couple of months because there were some teething issues and stuff. So that was the real reason for November release. Mm. But I'd love to say it was planned for that. So
you'd have been looking for it to have been launched for when you were at Thought Bubble. Would that have been around the right time?
That would have been perfect for me because we were at Thought Bubble. But we did have a demo version to show there to people. Yes. I think I missed you, Tony, didn't I?
I kept coming past. I think you were off boozing or something, Pete.
It's probably the case. Life. No, I was by myself, so me and Dave Cook was next to me by himself, so we were tag teaming it to use bathroom and go and get something to eat and all that sort of stuff.
That's right, mate. Yeah, I've got a badge.
Kept missing you.
We want to say thanks for the beanie hats.
I love those beanies.
Yeah.
I'm wearing mine at the moment.
Awesome. Yeah. Isn't that one of the best things about doing stuff? The merch, I love doing merch stuff.
Yeah, we got a bit of merch. Yeah, we love the merch.
Yeah.
But no, it's a pleasure. I hope they keep you warm in the winter.
Oh, definitely.
My other question coming on from that convention thing, Pete, was, bear in mind you've hit it, you know, whether it be by cunning or luck, in a dry spell of conventions, what do you think the reactions will be to the sales at conventions? I mean, do you think people will go, are you on Comic House? Do you think that's a question that will be asked across the table at someone?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I'd like to think that a lot of the punters are like we are and what we've just talked about, whereas they would ask perhaps if the title's on Comic House, but they'd still, the reason they're at Thought Bubble and the rest of the conventions, they want to support the indie creators.
Yeah.
So they want to take home a print copy of it. That's what I'd like to think would happen anyway, to be honest with you.
But I think for multiple day conventions, if you're asked that and you go away and read it, then you'll go back and buy it. I think that's even a better chance.
Yeah, that's definitely a chance of that.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose the other side to look at is, as the app grows, I mean, because we're splitting, there's a creator pot that's being put into for all the subscription money we're getting and advert money we get in.
Yeah.
That's going to be building as more and more content gets built and more kind of subscribers get on board. So I'm hoping there'll be a little bit of revenue there for the creators as well as it builds. So I'm not saying it's going to equal a monthly paycheck for them, by any stretch of the imagination.
It's another avenue, isn't it? It really is. I mean, it's another avenue.
Yeah. Anyone who's had comics on Comixology knows that when you get that, you get that fat check from Comixology, you think, oh yes, I think I'll go for salt and vinegar this week.
It's more the getting the title out there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the main priority, I think, for people, is to get the title out there for people to see. But I'm totally transparent, and I'm not going to pull the wool over people's eyes and say you're going to make a fortune out of this in the short term, because we've got to build this app up so as many people as possible are using it. And then once we do that, every time somebody reads a comic book, it will equate to some money. So
people are into it for different reasons, Pete. Mm. People are into it because they want to break through, and to have the ability to say to an American, you know, publisher, oh, my books have been on Comic House for a long time, you can see them there. Or, you know, people are into it for fun, so getting the comic out there for people to look at. Yeah. Or maybe just people are out there for contacts, you know. And I think it benefits in all different ways, like that, to me anyway. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, even if people want to sell their comic book, to put it on the app, I think it's a good step, because it gets it in front of people who might notice it. We've given a whole bunch of reviewers free access to it, so they're going on there, and it just... Yeah. It's the ability for them to go on and kind of find some new stuff that they may not have come across before, and they may have.
Yeah, I've certainly reviewed stuff off your site now, and I like the ability to do that without having to put things in my bag. Think, oh, what shall I review this week for the site? Yeah. You know, I can just go onto Comic House and find something that's new. Yeah. You know, that's a good way of doing it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's the plan. So
I think it'd also be a good avenue for webcomic creators as well, because I know sometimes on Comixology you'll see. They do collected editions, much like Vanguard. I know Dan would probably be thinking the same sort of thing. And sometimes people just want to read it like an issue, like a comic, rather than looking at the web browser, etc. So to put the, you know, I think more if you've got a web comic out there and you just want to get it in on more eyes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you can definitely put it on Comic House. I think you'll definitely see an uptake in that. A lot of web creators doing that, I think.
Yeah, and I think I don't know if you listened to last week's show, but David Hathaway Price is putting this fanzine together.
Yes, I did listen to that. Yeah, because he wasn't sure, because he wants to do a charity donation thing for it, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
which is understandable.
Well, there's some other we had a DC fanzine sent through to us as well, which looks great, and I think those magazines would benefit by being on your site as well.
Good,
yeah.
You had a section for fanzines, as in by genre.
Yeah.
Fanzines. And, like, the kind of the audience, it would sound like... I guess it's a bit different when you want to hand out print copies, but if I want to read an Invincible fanzine, for instance...
Yeah,
definitely. I would quite happily get my hands on one if it was produced through that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's a good idea, yeah.
Are you thinking about putting prose on there as well at all, Pete, or...
Is that
a strange subject, or is that something you hadn't considered, or...?
Do you know what? I hadn't considered it until... No, not at all. What do you think the benefits would be of that?
I'm just thinking you get a lot of crossover, don't you? You get a lot of illustrated books, maybe children's books especially. You get a sort of... it's a weird market, the children's market, isn't it? It's something we don't always see as comic fans or creators. They sell big numbers, but the benefits that, you know, the Guardian readers' mothers have, you know, of having one on their tablet, I think is something that's perhaps untapped.
I agree with that side of things. I mean, we've got another version. We've got an update to the app coming out in the next month or so, and I'm trying to work out a way of integrating a kind of a kids section into the app.
Yeah.
It may be the following update after that, because it all costs and it's all kind of time sensitive and all that sort of thing. So, but I think it'd be great if somebody had a tablet with all the comic books on that they wanted to read, and they could read their kids a bedtime comic book as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, or just hand it over in the back of the car sometimes.
Is good, yeah, you know, yeah, exactly. With a PIN number or something, so they couldn't access a...
I think Netflix do it, don't they? Netflix have an account thing, don't they?
Yeah.
Kids only, and then you click on your name and stuff like that. It's not a bad idea, I think.
I guess you'd have to go through and re-catalogue, people to re-tag their work, whether it's not safe for work. You do have that already, don't you? Teens and...
We've got an explicit rating where there's either no rating straight up to kind of explicit and stuff like that. So, but we may have to tweak it, as you're saying, kind of put an actual... a friendly, family-friendly thing in there.
Yeah.
Add their stuff, like, for instance, if they, it is like an explicit comic, but they've rated it all ages, does it, it goes through to you guys and you check it through first before it gets approved?
I try to check as much stuff. I mean, usually I approve it and then check it on the app.
Yeah.
Right.
There's so much stuff going on there, I can't check it all. Do you know
what
I mean?
Any surprises at all, Pete? Have you had any... And anything you'd like to talk to us about? Maybe we can counsel you a little bit, or
No, do you know what? Everyone's been really good. There was this one guy who contacted me saying, I was going to put my comic book on the app, but it is very explicit. There's lots of sexual stuff in it, and there's lots of nudity.
Yeah.
And the reason we couldn't put it on there is because iTunes would then block the whole app. You know what I mean?
So
we've got to, I suppose, adhere to the iTunes and Google sort of pornography sort of rules they've got and stuff like that. And to be honest with you, I don't want to turn into like a porn hub of comic books anyway. Do you know what I mean? So, although I suppose the advertising revenue would pick up. But,
it's kind of a shame because like Patreon's got the same kind of thing where it doesn't allow those adult comics on there. And it seems like there's a few creators that listen to the show that do kind of more adult oriented stuff, and that's a platform they can't use because of that ruling. Would you say that's down to this kind of like a commercial business sense that they don't want their business to be associated with that kind of material, or what?
I guess so. I guess, I mean, without knowing exactly what they're thinking, I'm not entirely sure, but I think a lot of retailers do have that stipulation in place because I suppose it can be abused to a certain extent and get kind of really, where do you draw the line for it? It could get really kind of quite hardcore, couldn't it? So, and I suppose anyone could be downloading these apps. If they've got kids stuff on the app as well and adult stuff, I think you've got to be 16 or 17 to download the Comic House app, but we've still got to adhere to the retailer's guidelines, which is frustrating in a way, but in another way, I'm glad they're kind of doing that so we can kind of keep an eye on it all. So,
and you can kind of use that as a kind of rod, as it were, to kind of turn away.
Did you just make yourself laugh at the fact that you used the word rod?
I just stumbled over
that phrase.
I was hoping you'd say boobs.
So you can sort of say, look, we can't have this because of, you know, get fucking the app, get banned if we have
Do you know what? It takes the decision out of my hands, which is quite a nice way of doing it, really, because I'm, what would I say to people? I don't want to kind of stem creativity or whatever and tell people they can't put stuff on there. But if there's the bigger boys are telling me we can't have it on there, then that lets me off the hook in a certain extent, I suppose.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. It's a weird, isn't it? We're coming back to this, and this is something that happened in the 80s when a lot of the sort of comic shops were, you know, really getting going in London, is certain comics were seized by the police and stuff like that, you know? And well, I think...
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, I remember the same thing happening with... I mean, sorry to go on about the music stuff, but I remember people being arrested for wearing Inspiral Carpets T-shirts that had swears on it and stuff like that. So, and people not being... People buying records and carrying them around in public were getting kind of arrested and things like that. So, yeah, it's a very kind of... But now that the internet, it's kind of self-controlling because of iTunes and Google, I guess, to a certain extent.
Yeah. It's a censorship, isn't it, essentially?
It is.
I'm not these people who go censorship is stupid because, you know, I know that certain things I don't want kids seeing, but the I think that there's you're in the hands of business, aren't you, really, I suppose, rather than government censorship, you know, sort of and their whole aim is to make money.
It's rather have a conversation about it, and you kind of, as a society, we come to some kind of understanding. It's taken out your hands because of a commercial entity want to impose their
But I kind of agree with it as well, because I mean, I don't know about you, but I get posts on the, we've got a group for Comic House for all the creators and stuff like that, and the same way that you guys have got your group for the podcast and stuff, but I get stuff posted on there which I'm like, I'm going to block that because it's essentially just tits and ass, and that's it's not offensive to me, but that's going to offend some people, and I don't want that people to be offended who are looking at my group. I mean,
yeah, so it kind of reflects on you.
People love to have a reason to kick off. It's not always an honest, you know, people love to find a reason to have a go. And, you know, I think there's that as well sometimes.
I think we all kind of, well, me certainly operate under that thing of like not to give people a reason to kick off easily over something.
Yeah.
And as you said, they're always out there watching and waiting.
Now, I mean, I see all these comic books on Kickstarter that are raising hundreds of thousands of dollars that are just essentially just massive porn books, and it's just which is fine, which is great, but I don't really want to be associated with all that sort of stuff because we've got some great female creators and some great male creators all creating stuff that doesn't have to rely on all that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean?
And if you are looking to do like a kids section to Comic House, then don't forget you've got our anthology that'll probably work out quite well.
Fucking hell.
No.
How's that coming together? You're all done with that now?
Yeah, so the print all is
ready
to go.
Well, the print. Excellent work. The first issue went off to print this week.
We're very excited.
There's a load of C-bombs in yours, Tony, isn't there?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I don't use the word in mine, but I'm glad it's in there.
Did you call that bloke Barry Cheeseman in the end, or is he unnamed at the moment?
Unnamed.
Okay, good. Now, I've been, I do see a lot of people posting about what they're reading on Comic House, which is very nice of them to do so. Yeah. Pete, are you able to say what the big read is? I'm going to guess that Lock and Key seems to be very popular at the moment.
Lock and Key is one of those comics which I missed first time round, so I've really enjoyed reading that. I mean, we've got a top 10 list on the bottom of the front page there, which doesn't change very much because people seem to be reading the same top 10 comics, which is great. But
it feels like Dread is always on there, isn't he? Or
yeah, Dread's there. Comic House number one, which is quite brilliant, but I don't really understand that. But it's lovely. And then Trans Realities, 30 Days of Night. White Noir is really a great book.
Oh, yeah. Who's that by then?
That's... And we got The Plight, Madhouse, Bubble 07, and Tragic Tales of Horror.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The top 10. But yeah, Lock and Key is just outside the top 10. What we're going to do with the next update is allow people to click more on that little link there and just see a whole list of the charts.
Oh, that's
cool. That'd be brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think it'll just give people a kind of. It's quite nice to see your comic books being read and then it goes up the chart to the next week. Because people can see how many times their books are read in the back end, but it's nice to see it in against everyone, all their peers and stuff, and how it's being.
I was trying to sort of say to people, like, do you leave reviews for the comics you enjoy? Because it's a great way of giving feedback, and like when you bring in a system like you're mentioning, that comes into full effect.
Yeah. So I mean, I know you've got some IDW books on there, haven't you, Pete? So how did that relationship start?
I was just going to ask that.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, there you go.
I noticed on Twitter you had somebody asking us the same sort of question on that, and the reason behind it was because it's a chicken and egg thing, really. We needed content when we first started the app up.
Yeah.
To draw the content providers in, because if they go to the app and see there's nothing on there, the test version, then they're going to think, well, there's no point in me putting my book on there, and obviously the readers aren't going to want to read anything because there's no content on there. So
yeah.
I basically licensed those a bundle of their bestsellers from IDW. I went to them and said, look, we're launching this thing, and it's a new business for them, so they're not going to take a massive punt on it to start with. So
yeah.
I licensed a bunch of comic books to put on there, just their top kind of 20 titles.
Okay.
And which is why My Little Pony's on there, and Ghostbusters, Transformers, and some other bits and bobs. But also, I thought it was important to get some names on there that your normal punters would recognise. Because I think it's a bit, if you go to somewhere and it's all new indie stuff, it's a bit overwhelming for people, I think.
It is a bit much. It's much like a comic convention. If you treat it like that. I love going to convention and discovering new books. I will also pick up some trades of like the big two books that I want. Do you know what I mean?
So it was essentially an idea of giving us something to stick a handle on and promote a little bit, saying Judge Dredd's available, 30 Days of Night's available, X-Files, and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah,
just so you're
browsing stock, isn't it, is what you want. You
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Keep people kind of coming in and stuff, and I suppose just to show that we're taking this seriously, man. We're not dicking around with this. We're going full on with this. So
and have you pursued any of the other big companies at all to say this is what we've got going now? It's been a success so far. Did you fancy getting involved? Have you started that scheme now?
This is I started before Christmas. That's the plan for this year, is to now start getting the likes of Boom Studios and Dynamite and maybe some Dark Horse stuff and things like that.
Dynamite on there,
It's tricky though, because obviously even though we're more established now and you can see what's going on and how it all works and stuff like that, some of these companies have got their own little apps. And Rebellion have got their own 2000 AD app, so that was tricky.
Yeah, I don't understand 2000 AD's marketing scheme around that. They've got their own app, yet you can't get them on Comixology. I don't understand that. I think... You look at Dark Horse. Dark Horse got their own app. They're also on Comixology. They're also on Sequential. You know, I don't see the harm in spreading it to these different apps.
That's what Marvel do as well, isn't it? Marvel have Marvel Unlimited, don't they?
And they've got their own app, and they're on Comixology. You know,
And it makes sense. Do you know what I mean? I mean, not to put in another example with the music industry, but if you release a record and you're just going to put it on iTunes, you're missing out on Amazon and Spotify and HMV and all these other retailers that. people have their own habits. They have their own reading habits, and they want to do that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, saying that though, Comic House the Anthology, I'm just putting on the app. It's not available. The first three issues, I think, are available on Comixology, but we wanted to keep it a bit exclusive for the app. So, but
fair enough.
I don't know whether we're going to keep that long.
I mean, I've got three or four reading apps on my iPad, but some people probably only got one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And they will. I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you can't supply to all of the retailers, as it were, in that respect, and get it out as far and wide as possible. So,
agreed.
Yeah, big one.
So, what title would you add? You get to have a couple of titles you'd love to have on there. What would they be, Pete?
Ah, such a tricky one. I mean, ridiculously, I did contact the Beano guys.
Yeah.
Last year, because I thought, right, let's get the whole catalogue on there. Why not?
Yeah.
But they're actually in the process of, I believe, cataloguing and scanning and doing their own sort of thing. So, just as a big kind of, to go back to my 9-year-old self and go, hey, look what I've done, sort of thing. But I'd like to get Comics Tribe stuff up there. I mean, and then Emily Was Gone, the John Lees and Ian Laurie book. I love that book.
Yeah.
So I'd love to get that up there. But it's just, I think for a lot of publishers and indie creators, they want to see if it works first, which is great. I totally understand, but it's a bit of a misnomer, because if everyone thinks that, obviously it's not going to work, is it? Yeah. So I'm really happy with how it's building at the moment. People are adding stuff, people are interacting with it, leaving reviews and all that sort of stuff. So
you cannot get a certain historical English comics for love nor money. Do you know what I mean?
That's something I was talking to somebody about before Christmas. Was there's a lot of English comics that are now public domain,
right?
As well, so perhaps we could utilize those, put those on the app, and then donate any money we get into Comic Heroes or kind of some sort of charity organization or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's lots of other ones, as you say, that you can't actually view anywhere.
Yeah, there's loads. Yeah, I mean, it's much stuff like Wizard magazine and all these sort of Crunch and these sort of comics. You just don't see them anywhere. You know,
Weird.
Misty, for example, is the huge example of that. Everyone has gone nuts trying to get a Misty reprint out, and now it's come out. People are going nuts for it. They could have monetized that years ago.
Yeah. I mean, if it was me, I would just take the whole catalog and just get it all out there somehow. Yeah.
But may I suggest Toxic? Or something like that.
Oh God, yeah.
Oh, Toxic. Yeah, I'd forgotten about Toxic. Jesus,
That'd be brilliant. Yeah, I'd read the fuck out of that.
Well, I mean, if any of your readers, any of your listeners want to suggest titles they'd like to get on the... I mean, I've got a massive list at the moment of people I'm approaching, so the more content we got on there... Obviously, the operating costs for Comic House app are just ridiculous with the server space and all that sort of stuff, but... I want to make it bigger. I want to make it somewhere where people want to subscribe to. And because to be honest, I know subscriptions. When you look at it, I mean, I'm paying for Xbox Live, Netflix, and I've got a Spotify account. Yeah. It all starts getting a bit much after a while. But for the price of one PDF a month, you can get all these hundreds of indie comics. So I think that's not too bad, is it?
Oh God,
it's good. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. May I just suggest one more as well?
Viz. Yeah, do it.
Viz.
Oh, Viz. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah.
Speaking of which, I was going to read out a couple of their letters later on. last suggestion. I don't know what they've got. Have you spoken to the Phoenix at all?
Yeah, good chat.
I did send them. I think I did send them a message before we launched, actually, because they seem to be just doing the stuff they're doing is just great, and I'd love to have it on there.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's some of their older issues, I know they have a subscription. They have a lot of readers. I'm not quite sure if they've got an app or something. We're going to get them on the show fairly soon.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Put in a good word for me.
Yeah, but you're right. There's so much stuff out there that, I mean, it would, unfortunately, a lot of the English comic stuff would need someone to clean it up and scan it in and stuff like that. You know, that would be the only problem, because there's a lot of sort of dirty old brown paper, because the newsprint paper newspaper style paper they used to print it on is, I'm sure, beginning to degrade. I've got a pile of comics here.
God, yeah.
They're all looking a bit brown.
I've been trying to, I mean, I haven't done it for a little while, but collecting those old issues of Battle, which had Stormforce in it.
Yes.
So I've been scanning in the pages of Stormforce and then just sort of like trying to clean them up so I can do a print version just for myself.
Just for fun.
For fun. But it is a lot of work, you know, trying to, especially when you have those double page spreads that looked amazing when you were a kid. Yeah. But if you try scanning that and then you've got to try and piece it together so it all fits nicely, yeah.
And I know it's
but for me, I mean, like, just from back in the day, Tiger and Action and Roy the Rovers and all these great comic books that I grew up with would be, I'd love to have those on the app and all. But as you say, it's all newsprint stuff, isn't it? And whether they've got high quality digital copies of it anywhere, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So
Action would be a great one as well. I mean, the attention you would get with something like that. I'll tell you what, I know it's probably tied up in huge amounts of deals, but Warrior magazine.
I think the issue with a lot of it was when these things were at the height, when we loved them, comics were a lot more disposable media. Certainly all the way through, from, you know, the printed copies that you'd read until they fell to bits, and certainly the artwork, which wasn't treated with, you know, any respect sometimes back in the day, wasn't it? Yep. So I think it's sad, but some of it has been completely lost to time.
I mean, Pat's spoken to us about Mills when he came on. We talked about that. And if you read his book, Be Pure, Be Innocent, you'll discover how badly it was treated. Some of it was used to sort of block up drains, and such a shame.
We need to get all this great stuff available somewhere. I'm not just saying on the Comic House app. I mean, just saying for everybody to read somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm open to all of that. Any, I think anything that increases just the profile and the content and just gets more people involved with it would be great for me. So, and for everybody else, because I think we'd all benefit.
Let's have a little question, shall we?
Okay.
From the listener Tom Curry at This Chucklehead, he said, "What's the origin of the name Comic House?"
Well, when I came up with the stupid idea of doing the database marketplace thing, a friend of mine, Rich Jenkins, in Raygun Comics in Richmond.
Yes. Hmm. Yeah.
I went in to see him and went, "Is this a good idea?" He went, "Sounds great." And he suggested the name for me, Comic House. Basically, they were looking at names for the store themselves when they were rebranding it, and this was one of the suggestions to kind of a take on the Bauhaus art movement, and it's a movement for comic books sort of thing. So, so he suggested it, and I thought, that's great. And he didn't object to me using it, and I always mention that he's the one that came up with the name and suggested it. So, that's where it came from. It just seemed to epitomize everything we were trying to do. So,
yeah, that's a nice one.
Yeah, easy to remember. You know.
Yeah, the only problem was when I did issue 2 of the anthology, I did put, I think, a feather in the wrong place on the logo initially, and it read Comic Chavs for a while. So,
not a bad idea.
Somebody noticed that, and I managed to change it before it went to print. Luckily, because else that would have stuck with us for quite a while. I would have thought the Comic Chavs thing.
So, talking about the anthology, how did you kind of decide, right, this is something I want to do?
It's basically just to get the profile up as well. And because we'd been introduced to so many creators and they were coming up with so much great stuff, and I always loved the idea of 2000 AD just as a weekly thing. Mm. And I just wanted to recreate that, really, it's another ridiculous idea. I mean, who does that?
Well, we all create an anthology. What a ridiculous fucking idea.
What a wanker.
But James McCulloch had a lot of contacts, so he was integral to all this in getting people lined up, and I found some guys I liked as well, and together we just put it all together, and we're releasing a comic book every month. I mean, it's gone to every 2 months this year, essentially, because with my day job and with the app and everything else, and financially, it's just I was finishing one issue, getting it to print, and then having to start on the other one, and I was worried that I was rushing it, and I wanted to take a bit more time over it. So,
yeah, fair enough.
And the one thing I will say is, I mean, you've made it sound very simple, like, oh yeah, we just decided to do an issue, and we got in contact with some creators, but you're very professional about it. I mean, I know a couple of us on this show have had stuff to do with it, and, like, you know, you very professionally thought about, like, you know, contracts and a definite sort of proper way of doing things, rather than we're doing an anthology, do you feel like joining us? There definitely seems to be, there's thought in it, there's a definite structure to it, which is very appreciated. It makes you feel like you're part of something like genuine as well.
Oh, no, I really appreciate that. Well, we wanted everyone to just feel part of the team, I guess. And that still continues to this day, where you'll find create, because I can't get out to all the cons across the country. I'm down in Plymouth. It's a long way for me to go and stuff. So you'll find that there's a member of the Comic House family, as it were, somewhere in a con near you, and they'll have copies themselves to sell and stuff. So it's been I've been really just overwhelmed by how supportive everyone's been, all the creators and all the people have been buying it, to be honest with you. It's been great. And the professional side of things, we just wanted to do it properly and make sure everyone knew exactly, be transparent. Yeah. They knew what they were getting. They knew they were getting page rates and when the comic was coming out, and they'd all have comps and all that sort of thing. Because I think sometimes creators can be a bit kind of shortchanged on some things here and there. So we wanted to do it properly.
Yeah,
we were just talking about that before we came online. Nick, I think different people have got different ideas about what a creator is due at the release of their comic sometimes, you know, and I think what you've done there is right, dude. Yeah,
and
definitely.
It's very transparent, isn't it? It's like, here are the page rates, so if you don't agree with them, you don't have to take them or whatever, but it is very much this is the way it is, you know. If you want to have it, then join us, you know. It's really well done, I thought. So.
Oh, thank you, I really appreciate that. That's really good of you to say so. I mean, we wanted to kind of just go all guns blazing on it. It's why we got Glenn Fabry, Carlos Esquerra and kind of all these other guys to do covers for us, because I just think it helped. The same way with the app, getting the IDW stuff on there, it's just, it gets the kind of casual punters involved just to look at the indie stuff a bit more.
The covers are amazing, and like you say, you got some proper names there. So how did that come about? How did you manage to get those creators involved?
Just by contacting them. It was simple as that, saying, look, this is what we're doing. It's a book full of new indie creators. We really want to give them a kind of platform to stand on. You doing a cover for us will help. We've got a small budget. Can you help us out? And everyone was just being really supportive. They really
That's
were.
Great.
You've
got some great names here, dude, as well. I mean, people go nuts for Carlos, don't they? And Fabry and all these sort of people. You know, they really draw the eye to it, you know.
And I guess selfishly as well, I wanted to get people that I'd grown up loving, do you know what I mean? And I still love now, and newer ones that I really love as well. I mean, we've got the next few issues are just I can't believe who's doing it. So we've got Derek Robertson and Brendan McCarthy doing it.
Mate, awesome.
Well.
Yeah.
And brilliant.
But then with the likes of Monty Nero, Lyndon White, Amrit Birdie's doing us a cover as well, because we wanted to mix it up a little bit as well and kind of give those guys some free reign on a cover for us as well, because I love their work. So
it was interesting. I think it was for issue 3 we did the Suited and Booted cover. I think it was 3 with I also had to get a kind of reference material for Carlos Esquerra, and I didn't think this would be happening. it was a really good moment. And then when it came through, it's like, oh, fucking hell, like, there's these characters that John Late's come up with, I've designed, and then here's Carlos drawing them for the cover. It's amazing.
I was bowled over with that as well, to be honest with you. I mean, I did with the creators, I said to them, the artists and the writers, right, who would you want to do your cover if you could get anyone? And we've tried to kind of do that for as many of the covers as we possibly can. So, because it's just a nice thing to do, I think. Just if you're going to get a cover done, get it done nicely, and
it's so
they look
amazing
class as well, dude.
It's so amazing to see like a proper name creator do a design that you've worked on.
Who did yours? Was it Gary Erskine? Did yours?
Gary Erskine. I think Boo Cook. Yeah. Was it Boo Cook? Did the other one? I think.
Okay.
Boo Cook did the other one.
It was two covers. So I felt bad about my own artwork twice. Which is nice.
You told me yours was much better than their versions.
Vince, you've had two covers. It can't be that bad.
I know. It was amazing. And it was almost an affirmation that when you see it, you just think, yes, the actual character design worked. You know, the actual... I don't normally do character models for stuff. It's something that I want to try and incorporate more into my day-to-day sort of like comic work and things. So to do that was a really nice experiment, and to find that it actually worked and the covers look great, I was just totally made up.
Yeah, we. So was I. I mean, the covers. I mean, the Boo one and the Gary one's just incredible. The one regret I've got about the Gary Erskine one is that he did a wraparound for us, and because of the way that the spine is on the Comic House anthology, is we couldn't use it. But I might have a chat with him and see if we can do it for a trade or something like that, because it was lush, and he did such a great job on that cover. So yeah, really chuffed with that. The only problem is that we've now. Because we're going 6 issues this year, that's it. We're all full for the next 6 issues. So I'm still getting people submitting great content to me that I've got no room for. So
okay,
I guess that's the nature of the beast to a certain extent. So
yeah.
So maybe. How would the someone get their story in? Would they essentially pitch it to you in an email, for instance?
Yeah, okay. People usually just email me over a script. Or a script attached to an artist with some artist examples and stuff like that. So, and me and James would make a decision on A, whether we can fit it in, whether there's room, or B, whether we want to go for it. So, I mean, there's some stuff we can't fit in, which we really want to, but it's going to be 2019 now. So,
is there a possibility for maybe doing a digital only? You know, what a smaller sort of version that you can only get on the app or something?
Yeah, we may be able to look at doing sort of a group a load of the one shots together that we can't use or whatever and do it like that. But I feel I'm letting down the creators a little bit to that extent, because they want to see it in print. Do you know what I mean? So I'd feel a bit, I don't know, I feel a bit kind of conflicted about that, I guess. But
you could also group together the individual stories where they've run over 4 issues or whatever, and then have that as one you can look at on the Comic House. Yeah. I guess that kind of defeats the anthology feel of it.
I think what we're going to do is we're going to sell through some of the anthology stock we've got, because that's going quite nicely at the moment. So, and when that starts to dwindle a little bit, we'll look at doing trades of the stories. So I'd love to do a Suited and Booted trade, and I'd love to do a Feather trade and Karen Shade and all those stories that started off in the first issue and try to make that work. But it's...
Feather's done really well. They've got a lot of good feedback for that.
Yeah.
Would do well.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the Killtopia series, which Dave's doing next year as well. So Dave Cook's doing.
Oh, okay.
He's got a new series coming out next year. And Norrie Miller's got a new thing going as well. So, it's just so much great stuff around. It's brilliant.
Nice.
We're also doing a little project, just talking of upcoming stuff, with the University of Dundee students, where they're going to do some artwork for us for a script, which will be quite interesting.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, they produce an anthology every year, don't they, as I understand it? Is that right?
Oh, it's an incredible anthology as well. Yeah, it's really, really good. Each year the course... I mean, it's a great course. The feedback I've had about the course is just... Everyone's just so productive on it. So it's going to be interesting to see what they come up with. They designed all of our app posters, promo posters for us.
Yeah, they're top.
So I went to Phil and said, look, we'll do a competition, give some... prizes away for the top 5 and stuff, and the stuff they came up with is incredible. So yeah, really chuffed with that, and I'm great to feel really good to be kind of helping to nurture the kind of next phase of talent coming through as well. So.
You thought that'd been a great title for the anthology, the app, having the yearly anthology of their work going on there. Do you know what I mean? Said they produce a work at the end of every year. But I guess the money-wise, who would it go to? Back to the university, I presume.
Yeah, I think so. I'll have a chat with Phil up there and see if we can get some on the app. Because I've got the physical copies here, and they do look lush. They are amazing. They work. So.
Are you pursuing any of the sort of artier side of the small press scene? I mean, the Good Comics, the Avery Hill, Decadence, all these sort of guys, Myriad. Are any of that lot? Is that something you've put you're currently sort of looking into at all, Pete? Or
I mean, if it translates across to the thing is it looks so lush when it's printed, doesn't it? And we've done our best with the app to keep the quality of the PDFs. I mean, I'm not great technically, so I think what we've had to do for the streaming aspect of it is split it all up into JPEGs and do it that so it loads faster. Each PDF is split up. So if the creators are happy with how it looks on there, I'm happy to have it on the app.
Okay, yeah.
I think the quick answer to that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, we often talk about the different scenes within small press, and there are quite a few, and that's certainly one of them that I see is like ripe to be explored. Mm-hmm. You know, the sort of LCAF, Comica, that no, sort of totally. Crowd, you know.
Yeah, I think the LCAF stuff's really interesting as well. I'm hoping to go along to that next year.
Yeah, it's great fun. And
just have a look around. But it's I think if people want to get their stuff seen, we want to get it on the app so they can start to kind of show it around and stuff like that.
Yeah, cool. Nice. Are you doing any cons coming up at all, Pete? Or
yeah, we've got some in place for next. Thought Bubble hopefully will. I know they haven't announced yet whether people have been accepted or not, but we've done the last two, and I love Thought Bubble because it's just everyone comes together and there's a load of Comic House creators there and lots of new people to meet and all that sort of stuff. So I'm going to do that and look at some of the MCMs as well and some of the smaller ones as well. True Believers, it's your first one of the year, yeah?
Yeah, it's in a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll be at that. And then I think, as far as my diary's showing, I think Leamington's the next one, which is the 14th of April. Top of my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But speaking of events, we've got another question.
Oh.
Daryl Thorpe at Mr. Thorpe.
Who's just done a brilliant cover for Little Heroes, isn't he?
Yes.
Well done, dude. Nicely stepped up and done. Yeah, really looks really good.
Which is quality. Yeah. He says, as Comic House is a champion of small press creators, would they ever do a con based on the creators featured in the app? I guess an indie-centric comic arts festival.
Yeah, I get you. Good question, yeah.
It's a good question, yeah. I mean, if finances were infinite and time was available, I'd love to do that. But I guess, as I said about Thought Bubble, for me that is a kind of a little Comic House party sort of thing for me, because a load of the creators do go there already and I get to meet a load of new creators as well. So I'm not sure.
I think you're gonna have your hands full for the next couple of years with the app.
Because
it's only gonna get bigger and bigger and bigger, isn't it?
Well, cross fingers, I hope so. I mean, I'd love to do that. I'd love to put on a con for everyone. That's something I'll pencil down, though, for perhaps when it's a little bit quieter. So I want it.
Yeah. Cool.
So, now, what's the best way for people to get involved with Comic House, whether it be a creator or people who just want to get involved? Because obviously we do our terrible ads every week, but you know, coming straight from you, it will actually make sense. Hopefully,
I doubt that very much. Well, there's lots of things to do if you're a creator, because even if you're a letterer and you haven't got a book to put up per se, you can still go onto the Comic House site and claim your profile and get tagged in all the comics, so people can see all your work and stuff. And any creator can do that, and any publisher can do that. So, and the more, I guess, as well as having content on the app, I really want to get all the links kind of sorted out in people's profiles and all this sort of stuff, which is great. But essentially, anyone can upload to the app, and they can just go to comichouse.com/app, and there's a whole help page on there for them to have a look at and how to do it. And they essentially submit to the database, and then they'll go back into the site and submit the metadata for the app and then upload the PDF themselves. So it's we kind of, because it's server space, we don't have any A&R policy to that extent, do you know what I mean? So it's we wouldn't turn around to a creator and say this book is shit, because I think that's a very cynical view to have, that because there's a lot of books out there that I personally wouldn't like, but a lot of other people would like. So I think it's important to have an open forum for this app where anyone can upload whatever they want within pornographic reasons, obviously, which we were talking about earlier.
So you wouldn't say no, you're not ready yet to someone, for example. So if you saw a comic that was like, not very well made, you wouldn't say. I'm not saying you have already, but if it happened, what would you say? Would you say you're not ready yet, or would happen?
No, I don't think I would say you're not ready yet. And the reason behind that is because I think the only way people are going to get better is by putting things out there and getting other people to view it or not view it to a certain extent. Do you know what I mean? So it's we release a lot of music digitally, and there's some stuff which people, it may not quite be Abbey Road mastered or kind of lyrically genius that the other stuff that we're releasing is, but it's an important step for creators to take, I think.
Yeah.
In getting their work out there. And then they can always take it down if they do something better, or they're not happy with it after 6 months. They look back and think, actually, that's not representative of my work anymore.
Okay.
This is now representative of my work. I wouldn't want to start getting into that whole critique A&R policy thing where I'm knocking back people's work because I personally don't think it's good enough.
Yeah. Is there actually a line, though, for you? Do you know what I mean? Is there? I think you know where I'm going with this. There's some. I'm not saying anything on your side. I've not seen anything like this I'm talking about, but I've certainly looked at some work and thought, oh my God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to be there when that happens.
Yeah, say someone been like,
you've been
made a comic out of lined paper and it was bloody just awful and stuck it up on there, for instance. Yeah.
Maybe or I introduced then. My drawing around my genitals comic.
Yeah, I think
eagerly awaited.
Yeah.
Would that be an anthology, though, would it? That would be,
it won't be a long one.
How many pages would that be?
Not about half a page.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at kind of cock drawings and doodles and stuff like that, we've got to draw a line somewhere. But I think...
I see what you did there.
I think with every industry, there's good and bad. And there's the downside of the bad stuff is the worst thing that will happen if they put it on the Comic House app is that it will take up server space and nobody will read it.
Yeah. Mm.
It won't be featured on. We won't be featuring it on the front page. We won't be featuring it on the carousel or recommends or anything like that because we personally wouldn't think it was high enough quality to do that. So
I'm thinking more like you say there from your point of view. So I'm thinking, oh, I might have a look at this Comic House app. I'll go on it and have a quick look. Oh my God, what on earth is that?
Yeah,
you know what I mean, there's that side of it is more I was thinking.
No, I totally understand because people could look at it and think, well, this is shit, and it's going to. It's going to actually, they're going to think it's something connected to Comic House because it's on the Comic House app. I totally understand what you're saying. Yeah. But I suppose in the same respect, I think people have got to look at us like iTunes and Spotify, where there is stuff on there that is absolute bullshit that nobody ever listens to and nobody ever will listen to. But does that reflect badly on iTunes and Spotify, who are essentially just the platform for it? Probably not, because I never think when I find an awful song that it's their fault or think any less of iTunes or Spotify for that reason. So I take your point. There is going to have to be a line drawn to some
maybe sort. One day
but as the content's building up, things will just, if people don't know what know what they're looking for and don't specifically go there to look for something, these things will never be read anyway. They'll just be there as a title in the kind of long list of stuff we've got. Hopefully people, as I say, won't reflect too badly on Comic House for.
So you won't be putting it in the shop window, but it might be in one of the back issue bins.
Exactly. That's
how I look at it. Exactly. Yeah.
But I think the downside of saying to somebody, "No, that's shit. You can't have it," is that they may be young and just starting out, and you're going to crush that, and they're not going to go on to make anything better or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's important to give them perhaps a start. If they keep making shit, obviously I'll make a call on it later.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, okay. I think I see it as the same thing as that. You know, if someone asks us to sell something of theirs on our table at a convention, you know, and we might go, you know, we'll look at each other and go, you know, it's like that, you know.
I totally understand that, but I think it's slightly different when it's, you're physically there in front of behind the table, when it's on physically on your table and people are looking at it and then looking at you thinking, what the fuck's this? Yeah. I think that's the issue. It's a bit more anonymous with the Comic House app, I guess, in the fact that it'll just be there as a listing, and there'll be no, until somebody clicks through and thinks, what's this? I mean, usually you can tell by the covers, can't you?
Sometimes. Most of the time. Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes they've paid a really great author to illustrate to do the cover, and then you get inside and you're like, oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. That's what we did for the Comic House anthology, in all fairness.
That is not true.
I knew you were going to that one. No, just sorry, mate. I didn't really take away the conversation with that, because there was an awful lot of very good content on your site. I was just curious about that, because you're kind of a publisher now, aren't you? In a way,
I guess so. Yeah, yeah. But I suppose the app isn't. Yeah, I suppose the app is a publishing app to a certain extent. In that, I guess so. But then it's a publishing app full of other publishers' content. So as it grows, I don't want to dissuade anyone from putting content on there, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Who might think, oh, it's not good enough or whatever, because who knows? They'll get better and they'll work at it, and it's all creative. And who am I to say it's not any good? If everyone's saying it's rubbish, then we'll have to take a point on it. But it's
I think 99.9% of all comics are subjective in relation to quality. Yeah. It's that 0.1% which you go, nah.
Everyone agrees this is universally terrible. Absolute. Yes, exactly.
With the app, you get a free one month subscription. So, like, if any listeners haven't tried it out,
It's 14 days. Sorry, it's not a month. 14 days,
sorry. Jump on for 14 days and just download and read as much as you like and see if you like it or not. I mean, I can't see how you wouldn't be impressed with the stuff that's on there. There's loads of great stuff.
Yeah, essentially, you can download as much offline stuff as your device will hold. So if you're on a train journey in the morning, you can download 30, 40 comics to read on the train during that 14 days. And then when that 14 days runs out, you can either enter a code if you've been lucky enough to support somebody's Kickstarter who is offering codes away for that as a price tier, a reward tier. Or you can sign up for £3 a month and keep, and there's content added all the time to this. And as I say, for the next year, I'm just going to be hounding everyone to get as much content on there as we possibly can. So.
Yeah.
And when you read the comics and you like the comics and you go to a convention and you see the creators, pop up and tell them you like their comic, buy their comic, and tell them you read it on Comic House.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for example, if I was a creator and I had a comic, but I wasn't very tech savvy, is there anyone who would upload it at your company for me? Do you know what I mean? Is that something, or would you know someone, or would it just be like a word of mouth thing?
It would have to be done via their login, as it were, because then because all of the back end stuff has to happen in their dashboard and things like that.
No, so, I mean, from a physical point of view. So say for example, we might know someone who doesn't understand how a computer works. I can't think of who that would be. they might have produced a number of comics that they're thinking, oh, I might put them on Comic House, but you haven't got a clue how to do it. Do you know what I mean? That's what more I was thinking of.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, there's a help page and anyone can email me or tweet me anytime just to say what I don't understand this. We've tried to make it as straightforward as possible, but as with all new sites, it's going to be a pain in the ass to start with. I mean, eBay, Amazon, anywhere you go to list things until you get the kind of gist of it, it's always a bit overwhelming, isn't it? So I'm here any time for people just to drop an email going, how do I do this? If somebody is totally non-savvy and kind of a technophobe, we could work out something where I could upload them, create an account for them and give them the details, but upload it on their behalf perhaps. So if they're really struggling.
Yeah.
It's similar to getting like a message on a Saturday night from someone saying, oh, thanks a lot for the hat. Oh, by the way, I don't understand what I'm doing.
Tony, I feel like you need to get something off your chest.
So at that time I've got a call from a dad like asking me to help him put some music on his iPod, which happens about once a month, and it took me about 10 minutes to work out he was on the iTunes website.
Oh right.
And I was like, that's one that weren't fucking working.
No, as I said, we've tried to keep it quite straightforward, but because it's quite a big database and all this sort of stuff, there are some hoops people need to jump through, obviously. But I mean, you guys have all used it, I think. So it's listed all, bang up the PDF, and then the great thing about it is that it appears on the app straight away. I think within 5 minutes it's on the app.
Yeah.
And then if you need to make any adjustments, you do that on the website, and then it will automatically feed through to the app. So it's hopefully quite straightforward, as I say.
I've found it really straightforward. Yeah. It's not
really,
been
it. Yeah, really easy to use.
That's great.
And even Tony can read stuff from it. So
I'm fine with it.
There's hope for everyone.
Only took about 14 different messenger conversations between me and you, Pete. That's fine.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah. I've had more than that on occasion and less than that. So you're about average. It's all good.
Help me. I can't get the hat on.
There we understand. Yeah. Take it out of the bag.
On your head.
I've worked with people that have had trouble getting apps like approved, especially on iTunes, because they can be buggers, can't they? Getting an app to work and get approved by Apple,
Do you know what? We were quite lucky with all. Well, not lucky. The guys at Elixir Loo design. I went in for loads of meetings with them, and between us all, we came up with the app design, and they did all the kind of stuff that I don't understand in the back end and things. iTunes and Google flew through with flying colours, which is great. The problem we've had is with the Amazon stuff, because they don't on the Kindle store. Marvel Unlimited isn't on there either.
Oh, right,
And I'm not trying to cast aspersions on them, because obviously the Comixology and stuff like that, I'm not sure whether that's the reason or not. So, but we've worked out a workaround where somebody can download it from a static link we've got. If they've got a Kindle Fire, for example, they can download it from a static link and get the app ingested that way, which is brilliant, because I think there's a lot of people seeming to have Kindle Fires now after Christmas and all that sort of stuff.
They're on sale, weren't they?
Yeah, I read mine on a Kindle Fire.
Yeah, I do as well. Fine. So it works really well on that. But yeah, iTunes and Google flew through with flying colours, and we just struggled with Amazon. So,
interesting.
Maybe they see us as too much competition. I don't know.
Yeah, here we go. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring on the war.
When they take over the world, remember where you heard him first, folks. So definitely a check out comichouse.com. Find out more about it. And thank you very much for joining us this week, Pete. I know you're sticking around for the whole show.
I'll stick around. Yeah, of course I will.
Yeah. And it's been an absolute pleasure just shouting about Comic House for the whole show. And speaking of shout outs.
Yeah.
See, that was a segue you didn't expect, wasn't it? I don't think anyone fucking heard it. Jesus. do we have any shout outs this week, gents? I do.
Go for it.
Three.
While we've been on air, James Gibbs has tweeted an image.
His birthday yesterday.
Yep. Happy birthday, Gibbles. He tweeted an image of Segway slamming, he called it, featuring me, the silky smooth voice making transitions and art form on the show. And it's a brilliant image of me on a Segway. It's just amazing. It's just, if you look at it,
on Facebook?
It's on Twitter. If you check out the account now,
yeah.
It's absolutely brilliant, James. You're leveling up, my friend, and also you didn't make me look terrible.
Oh, so, I've seen that. That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's ace, isn't it?
Now that's ace.
Yeah, there's a boomerang. I don't know why. But thank you very much for that. There's even a foghorn.
You got your dong out?
No, I haven't.
My dad.
Not this time.
That's ace. Yeah. I've got a couple.
Go for it.
First up, in our calendar for 2018 is True Believers on the 3rd, Cheltenham Racecourse. If you go to www.oktruebelievers.com, I'm doing a panel with Anthony Johnston, Rachel Smith, and Mike Garley. Please come along. And does anyone know what table we're at? Anyone know?
We are H12 and H13.
Yeah, look at us on two tables. Around about midday, Vince is going to do that Coke moment where he strips off to his boxers and lays there eating, drinking a bottle of Coke on the table. Please come along for that.
Make sure I'm not around for that.
Get it right. Yeah. Diet Coke.
And the anthology will be launching at that, as you undoubtedly have heard already. Yeah. So please come along and buy a copy.
As we've got two tables as well, we're hoping... Going to have another chair there, so we're hoping to get some interviews, have some creators down. I know when we're at Bristol, Tony, weren't we, that it was nice to have a sort of chair.
That was really good, actually.
Yeah,
we did loads of that one, didn't we? So I'm really looking forward to that day. We're staying the Friday night, so if you're staying the Friday night and you're going to get sourced up and get nutty, then give us a ring and we can watch you and laugh at you, because we'll be there as well. Yeah, well, we've got the rooftop suite at one of the big hotels, haven't we? Is that right? Or
we have. I think we've got all the cocaine and hookers you could possibly hope for.
Please don't raid us. That is a joke.
Yes, it is. We haven't got any hookers. No.
What am I, chopped liver?
You usually have to pay for hookers.
Oh. So... I'll do it for a cheese sandwich. Does that count?
Yeah, that counts.
How many cheese sandwiches do you think you could get?
Maybe I'll get half of one. And then next up on our 2018 calendar is the 14th of April, Leamington Comic Con. at All Saints Church, Victoria Terrace. It's spartowncomics.co.uk. Get there and get your tickets. We shall also be at that. And we are also guests. We're excited. And Dan put out a little video, didn't he, of us today? Did a little video, which he posted online.
Yeah.
Of all our little products and stuff. So that's very good.
Loving that.
And then the last one involves Guns himself. A little shout out to a book by C.D. Mick. And it's a sort of two stories. C.D. Mick and our friend Harry Harris have done a book called Metaworlds. It's a superhuman thriller, but it's written in a script form, and Dan has done the spot illustrations for it, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So it's sort of superheroes, is it? Is that sort of
Yeah, it's kind of similar in some respects to Vanguard, where you kind of got superhumans that kind of work in more kind of not in like superhero suits, but kind of working for government agencies. And a more kind of realistic approach to it, a look at it.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, and there's real life venues in London and all this sort of thing are used as part of it. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
I've ordered mine, it hasn't arrived yet. I'm looking forward to it arriving. And it's available on Amazon. You can order your copy. Very excited to get that.
Stick a link in the show notes for that one.
Yeah, good idea. There you go. That's my shout outs, guys. Pete, nice. Do you have any? Hello. Did you have any shout-outs, mate? Anyone you want to shout-out at all? Or?
No, because if I do, I'll end up forgetting somebody and then I'll get killed next week. So I just thanks to all the Comic House creators, really. I mean, I couldn't have done all this without them. And James McCulloch, the anthology co-editor, who's a lovely man. His back, back is absolutely fucked at the moment and he needs some some rest.
He's got an awesome beard.
Get well soon.
Get well soon.
Now, before we get into recommendations, I threatened it earlier. I'm going to read a couple of letters from the wonderful Viz, the Jester's Shoes, that Dan got us, because the letter columns just make me laugh.
So are the best.
I'm just going to drop a letter in now and then. So here we go. They say that lightning never strikes twice. Try telling that to my mate Stephen Twice, who was hit by a urine-filled bottle of white lightning thrown at him by an enraged tramp in Wolverhampton's West Park. So recommendations this week, what have we got, gents?
I've got two again, I'm afraid.
I've got sort of two half recommendations because I've only read a bit of one, so it's a bit late.
I go with one first and then you can do one and we can finish off at the end as well.
That sounds good. Yeah.
Okay. The first of mine is A Night with Friends for Nosferatu by Grisso. Has anyone read this?
No. I saw the cover that you
mate, it's fucking brilliant. I think you of everyone would love it. What's that New Zealand movie about vampires?
Oh, What We Do in the Shadows, one of my favorite, one of my favourite films.
Or maybe Blood Blokes as well.
Oh, nice.
It's got that same sort of humour to it. Hmm. There's the blurb on the back is, we get to meet some of Nosferatu's friends, led by Nosferatu. They have an intervention with the elusive Bigfoot. Now, that makes it sound like some sort of adventure story, but it's not. It's about the size of a large beer mat, this comic, but it's got 48 pages. Each page is a different panel, so it's a panel per page sort of thing. So Nosferatu is in a pub. The pub name of the pub is The Slutty Panda. Oh, no, the name of the sex shop next door is The Slutty Panda. That's quite a good sex shop, actually. Yes, I haven't been to that one. and they're having a drink, and Nosferatu is sort of moaning about how he started looking himself up online, and he's started finding sort of little reactions to what he looks like. And they said I looked like a buck-toothed nerd who finally decided to come out of his mum's basement to ask for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And he's all these little sort of comments, and he's getting quite upset about it with his friend who's a witch and his friend who is a werewolf and transforms into a werewolf in the pub. So they leave the pub, and as they leave the pub, this is the bit that made me laugh the most. As they leave the pub, they walk into Bigfoot, who's standing outside. In fact, they call him Foot. And Nosferatu points at the carrier bag that Bigfoot is carrying, and he says, you've been buying porn. Bigfoot says, no, this isn't porn, it's just comics. And he says, you're lying, I can see boobs. And to which point Bigfoot says, no, they're European comics, and they sort of snatch it off him, and they look at it, and yes, it is, and he admits it, and it is pornography, I'm very sorry. And he admits how he's got this pornography habit, and he's trying to kick it. And he's always, I think I refer to it online as working the little Wookiee, I think I refer to it as. you get what I mean. But, and he falls asleep in the woods afterwards, and then he hears some hikers coming and he has to run away, but he leaves his pornography, thus explaining why you always find porn in the woods, which I thought was quite clever.
You know? God.
And it's a little series of little mini comics. The next one is find out more about Bigfoot in Bigfoot Story that's coming. And they're little sort of, I think these are the things that are called, these are what we were talking about last night with David. These are what people are calling zines. They're not, they're just like mini comics really. Yeah, so it's by Grisu. If you go to enigmaticlabs.com, you can get some copies of this, and there's some original art of his up for sale on there. Graham Grisu. Very good. Really funny.
Nice.
There you go.
Awesome.
Dan.
Good.
I wanted to kind of read through this comic in its entirety over the weekend, but kind of events unfolded, which I couldn't. But I started reading it, and you're going to have to forgive me, the creators of this comic, because I don't know how to say the name of your comic. It's R colon IL persona. Well, you said it's in real life.
Yeah.
Persona. Yeah.
Okay.
I just cracked it off. It's the story synopsis is, sorry. In a post-apocalyptic world where black magic and technology have combined, a young man awakens inside of a strange armored suit, only to find himself in the middle of a massacre. The writer is the Starlight City Project, art by J.M. Valenzuela, colorist Ludwig Sacramento, who also does the letters. It's really interesting manga comic, lots of sort of hyperkinetic action. I'm only 10 pages in, so I can't really do much more of a review from that, but I'm going to read the rest of it this week. It's
Available on the Comic House app now.
Yeah, it's on the Comic House app. Real. It's a long-running webcomic. It's got a very big fan base, which usually is a good sign for the quality level. So I'm expecting big things from it. So give it a go, and I'll let you know I'll get on next week.
Nice.
Sounds good.
I've got a webcomic that I checked out this week that I've been meaning to check out for a while by a creator called Steve Haymaker. Have you heard of him?
No.
No.
He's the Eisner Award-winning colorist of Bone, Razzle. Okay. Is it Razzle? How do you say that one? Is it Razzle? Razzle's a completely different magazine, isn't it?
Yeah, Reader's Wise Razzle is the best spin-off.
A different magazine, yeah.
Yeah.
Never Razzle. Read down the tube.
Razzle and Table Titans. Yeah, yeah. But he's now moved into making comics himself. And this is a webcomic called Plox, which is... I'm trying to figure out what that name's actually about, but it's kind of about online gaming. Now, this is something that I kind of know nothing about, and I know there are people that...
I'm very knowledgeable about it.
World of Warcraft and all of that, and having, like, your avatars and all of this stuff. But this comic goes into that, but it's not about the games they're playing, it's about the people. And I thought it was just going to be one of those, you know, those sort of snarky, you know, thinks it's funnier than it is sort of comics that you sometimes find with these kind of sort of ideas. But this is a really good comic, actually, really good. Now it says on the website, it's set against the Midwest paradigm of Columbus, Ohio. It's the story of Chad, the raid leader with no patience, Roy, the rational one that would rather play with dice and paper, which is probably Tony Esmond.
Rational.
Kim, the guild leader, at the end of her rope. Without irony or prejudice, Plox celebrates the subculture of gaming, video, card, and tabletop, while exploring how the shroud of internet anonymity changes our real-world relationships and identities. So there's a bit more going on to it. I mean, it is funny as well. It's about, like, it's more about the interpersonal relationships of how, like, friends sort of break up, and, like, one of the main guy, Chad, who... As I haven't caught up on it yet, because there's loads of it. He's been doing this for quite a few years, and there's like hundreds of pages to get into, and I'm just in like the fifth chapter of it. But Chad comes across as a bit of, he's an egomaniac and a bit of an arsehole, and when Kim kicks him out of their guild, he completely loses the plot and threat. You know, he just wants to crush her above all else. But at the same time, their real lives are going on around them, and like, Kim is struggling with, you know, she's gay and she's having problems with that, and she hasn't, I don't think she's come out and sort of really discussed it. So that, and the other guy, Roy, is the nice one in the middle who's trying to everyone to get along like they used to, because you see pictures in the artwork's brilliant. I think Steve's got a great style of it, that it looks almost animated in some ways. It could quite easily be a great animated show that would probably turn up on Netflix. Like, the animated shows turn up on Netflix all the time now, I've noticed, like, especially comedy ones. But this has definitely got a lot of heart and a lot of character, and there's so much more story to it than I thought. Because I thought, online gaming, it's not something that I necessarily know about. I know there's a huge world of it, and I know there's certainly, like, the comedy series The Guild. Have you heard of The Guild?
I've heard of it, yeah. I've not seen it, yeah.
But that's quite big, isn't it? And that's all about
that. Had a comic as well, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So there's plenty of sort of stuff to get stuck into with that kind of sort of area. But I like the fact that this switches from that. It's not really all about, like, the game. It's about these people's real lives. And, like, it's a lot... It was really quite touching as well. So I definitely check it out. And it's a webcomic... I know it's a good webcomic. When I start on page one, the consistency stays from page one all the way through, and B, without realising it, I'm up to page 60, and I realise that I just keep clicking next page. This is also a comic that's designed, the pages are square pages. That's how he sort of designed it. Which is quite nice. So it's not your standard sort of... I know some webcomics are like strip, and other ones are like US sort of comic size. So the website is really nicely designed as well. He's got a Patreon, and he's got a store where you can buy collected editions. So it's definitely one that I'm definitely going to be catching up on. And it seems like I've got loads more to go, because the first collected edition is 200 plus pages. So, you know, he's been doing it for a few years, and he's rather good at it. So go to plox-comic.com and you'll find out more about it there. There you go. Cool. That's my one.
That's good.
Who's going next? Come on,
Mr. Gene Paul.
Well, I'm reading quite a lot on the app at the moment. Have I mentioned the app? I think I may have. White Noir is really I'm really enjoying on the app. Yeah. Lock and Key, which I mentioned, which I totally missed the first time around, the IDW title, which I'm loving. Catherine Briggs is putting out some amazing stuff.
She's great, you know. She doesn't get. We need to shout more about her. She's got such a lovely style about her. Very interesting stuff.
Yeah. I love it. I love everything she's put out. And NPCT as well, Sarah Millman's series, which you've talked about it before, but NPCT follows an X-Fire summon, an elf, and a magicless human as they attempt to save a failing tea shop in modern day Cardiff. What's not to like about that?
Yeah.
So those are my thing. Also, we've got Steve Horry and Katia Fantini have got their Lizard Men comic book Kickstarter, which I'm mailing out this week. It's a new Comic House side venture title. So I've been quite enjoying reading through that again. So those are my picks for the week.
Nice. Cool. Plenty nice there. Dan, do you want to do your second one?
Yeah, my one's not a comic book at all, where it's kind of it's spawned from a comic book. And that's the series Devilman Crybaby.
Oh, so he's in this. Yeah. I must watch this.
Debuted on Monday on Netflix. I think it's a 6 or 7 part series, and it's based on... Christ, how old's the comic? It was done by Go Nagy back in the 60s or 70s.
Oh, is it really that old? I didn't realise Devilman
really
was
old.
That old.
Yeah. So it's first a comic, and then they did like a cartoon TV series of it, and it's been reinterpreted. I think in the 80s they did like a couple of feature length films, like taking some of the comic.
Yes, stuff. I remember them being shown on Channel 4 actually. I think they showed a couple of them. Yeah,
they've definitely popped up on Bravo and Sci-Fi a couple of times.
Yeah,
and they're really brutal. It's very brutal stuff, and essentially they've modernized it. And I was watching, they're only 26 minutes long, the episode, and I was watching the first episode on the train, which was a mistake. So I was like, holy fuck. Like, I had to kind of stop watching it because it might have been a bit too much for my fellow commuters. But really recommend it. Give it a go. It kind of mashes up stories from the old series, but it's got a really nice way of telling them. The animation style, it's really pared down, like quite simplistic, but the movement and fluidity of it is really nice. There's a kind of real contrast from when you have day shots and it's very white, and then the nighttime and when all the horrible shit gets on, it's very dark and you can only see silhouettes and flashes of color. It's very well done, very interesting. I'm enjoying it, but I'm hard to put my finger on the reason I am. There's bits of it I'm not too mad on, but I'm really enjoying it so far. So give it a go.
Well, you said it was nice. Violent, didn't you, Dan?
Oh, God, it's hella violent.
Well,
yeah.
There you go.
I might give this a go. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a sequence that I thought, oh, shit, I better turn this off, where there's a couple having sex and the woman turns into a demon and her legs become jaws and chomp the man in half. I was like, there we go. That's the moment. I have to watch this at another time.
So you pulled your trousers back up again. And
I turned around and the woman was looking at me next to me on the train seat. I'm blinking like, Jesus.
Did you get off with her?
he just jumped off the train, like that moving train.
Yeah. Just forced myself out that little sliding window at the top. So yeah, give it a go. Devil Man Crybaby.
Cool.
Nice. So Tony, take us home.
Yeah, I've got the last one. You know this one's coming. I was chatting to Zoe from Nobrow this week on the emails, and she said, oh, would you like to see a copy of The King of Birds? And I said, yes, bloody hell, I would. So she sent it to me very kindly. It's Gamayan Tales, The King of Birds by Alexander Utkin and published by Nobrow. It's the first in a series, which may surprise you, actually, because to me, when I first saw it, I thought, well, maybe it's just a standalone book, but there is definitely a second book coming, which looks just as incredible. It's, I'll read you the blurb on the back. This is the story of how a small golden apple started a great battle. It all began with a mouse and a sparrow, but soon all the animals and birds are waging a mighty war. After all, the king of birds forgives no one. But what will happen when he finds himself at the mercy of a plucky merchant? Now, it's a comic that's based on a traditional Russian folklore story. It was originally published in Lithuania and Russia, and as I say, was done by Alexander Utkin. It's been translated by Lada Morozova. It's like all those, it's not a kid's book actually, although you could be forgiven by looking at it, and the style of it has got that sort of bright coloured style, sort of fairy tale style to it, but it's actually quite a sort of, you know, like Grimm's fairy tales, everyone was murdering each other and kidnapping each other and stealing off each other and all this sort of thing, you know. I think we forget sometimes that the folk tales and the fairy tales that we grew up were actually quite lively, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. Very dark, yeah, totally, yeah.
Yeah, and this has got the same sort of quality to it. It follows an escalation between, like I said, a mouse and a sparrow that escalates into basically a war between the birds and the mammals, and the sort of strange sort of transformative characters who lie behind those battles. The I don't think it's really anything, but in the first few pages, the king of birds wins, but does quite badly and is quite badly injured and is taken in by a local guy, is a sort of, I can't remember if he's a blacksmith or something along those lines, who finds him in the woods and takes him in. And he cares for him for a couple of years. And for that sort of caring for him and looking after him, he's taken around the world by the King of Birds, who, when he lands, he visits his three sisters. And then each time he lands on the island where his sisters live, he transforms into this sort of statuesque sort of, more like an Incan kind of god, you know, with like a feathered headdress, but like a blue sort of human, muscular sort of human. And he poses these questions as they sort of travel around the world. And I won't ruin where it goes, but there's moments of it that you think, oh, that is so beautiful. Utkin has got like a real talent. It's got a sort of brushy, pastely book cover style to it, you know. It's just like really, really beautiful stuff. He lets the artwork breathe. There's some great uses of color, like lightning strikes and birds atop cliffs and gnarled trees and islands with big huge sort of castles and statues on the top of them and stuff like that. It is absolutely gorgeous, as always with Nobrow. It's a hardback, you know, we've seen their books, we know what they're like. You know the way they do the spine, it's almost like a cloth spine to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think on what's the one I got you, Dan, by Dear Edge Man? It's Dalston Monsters.
Yes.
Yeah, Monsters. Yeah.
It's got a similar sort of yellow spine to it, with a sort of really bright coloured montage cover on the first book. Absolutely gorgeous. But when you think you've got that, you know, it's 67 thick card cut, you know, paper pages, full colour, $12.99. You know, that is such good value. When you think that. A Marvel trade of, I was looking at some old Marvel trades, you know, not old, but old material put together in a trade, and they're like 30 odd quid, yeah. And you think, this is a new book they're putting out. It's $12.99 in English and $16.95 in US dollars, available through nobrow.net. Highly recommended. It'll be the first in the series, and I think this is going to be their next big hit series. I think for a company that's got Hilda coming out on Netflix very soon. This is a company that, as we always say, you need to jump on board. Quality stuff. Yeah, really good. That's my next one. There you go.
That's nice.
Nice.
Wow. How many comics have you lot got to read over this coming week? Loads of recommendations this week. And yeah, once again, Pete, thank you very much for joining us this week.
I think it's been good, mate. Really interesting, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking to you about this app and this project of yours for a while, and there's a couple of things you've said there really opened my eyes to stuff that I didn't realise about how much work goes into the background of this stuff. You know.
Oh, thanks. No, I really appreciate you having me on, guys. It's great to come on and have a chat to you because it's you know what it's like in this. We bump into each other sometimes, but I've not met you three face to face yet.
No, so we never have. We've
talked on email and Facebook, so
best hopefully to avoid us.
This will be the year we all get to meet up somehow. So thank you ever so much for having me on board this week.
No, very cool.
Thanks for coming on.
Yes. And we didn't have a sponsorship ad, but you people definitely need to download the app and get involved with Comic House.
Yeah.
Because it's great.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate all the support.
Yeah. That makes this one.
Yeah.
Yes,
and remember that the check should go to... which, actually, it's the same place that you lovely listeners can email us. You can email us.
Yeah, Pornhub.
Oh, damn, I was doing so well. Oh, never mind.
Don't forget the hotel room's coming. Don't forget.
Oh.
We'll be in that little hotel room at night.
Oh, my.
We're doing the ACP After Dark podcast special episode.
What? It's not like Hollyoaks.
Yeah, it's a nod to Hollyoaks.
Yeah.
It gets a bit. God knows how we could get any more.
Sexy.
Off kilter than this fucking show.
True. That's true.
Vince. What? Can't sleep.
Can't sleep.
Vince.
Read me a story, Vince. Read me a story.
Where's your hand? Between two pillows. Right.
Those aren't pillows.
Oh, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Absolutely classic. Yep.
Why is there not a comic of that? I want to see a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles comic. I think that'd be good.
It's not really much.
I would read that.
What, just a straight up adaption? You couldn't really do
that. No, just their many travels. They could go all over the place, couldn't they?
Yeah.
They could, much like this show.
Yeah, nice.
Nicely done.
Did you like that segue? Then email
that was good.
Us let us know. You can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise, tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com, where we'll probably ask for more letters in the future, to be sent there.
We've got some great comics through this week.
Oh, yeah, God, yeah.
Really good ones this week. Thanks, everyone. I've got something from Stash Comics to talk about next week. And really good stuff, And also the True Believers Anthology, which is cracking.
Yep.
Really good.
Top stuff. Real top stuff. We're looking forward to talking to a lot of the creators on that day. That's going to be good. Follow us on Twitter @TheAwesomePod, where we will be stating who the next guest is. Probably doing a poll, maybe. We haven't done one of them for a while, have we?
Yeah, I think you're doing well.
Yeah. And over the next few weeks, there may be even more exciting news, and that is all I'm going to say.
Yeah, we have got something very exciting to talk about.
Yeah. And it's not going to be what happened at True Believers.
Tony broke radio silence. Usually we only converse through WhatsApp, but this was
excited. And yeah, I rang Vince, and he was out busy buying avocados, didn't answer. And
it was asparagus.
And I rang Dan, and literally the first thing you said as you picked the phone up is, "My son's in the car."
Yeah. He hears enough foul-mouthed expletives when I'm driving, so didn't want to add to the pot.
Well, they've got to learn young.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just stay tuned to the Twitter. Follow us on Twitter and find out more, because we retweet and we do all kinds, because Dan and Tony now have keys to the car, so Lord knows. When I'm not about, or just think social media can do one, at least they'll pick up the slack.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
That's not a guarantee.
Well, no, nothing's a guarantee. Apart from our Facebook, facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, because that's guaranteed a good time, as is our group, Awesome Comics Talk, on Facebook, which is always great, and loads of great conversation going on there. Lots of process questions and discussion going on, which is great to see.
Just reading that one about stripping out line work from
when you do a raw scan. It's got some nice tips. Some of the stuff I had, so I'm going to give that a go.
Yeah, I was going to reply to that, but I thought it'd just take me forever to write it.
I put in a Photoshop action, so kind of I've recorded that years ago.
Everything's an action with you, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah,
action,
yeah, that's how I do it.
Action, Dan.
If I could do my whole job as a Photoshop action, that'd be fucking amazing.
I'm working whole life that. Like that. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Oh God! Well, there's a Black Mirror.
cup of tea action.
thank you.
AK, my wife. sexist joke there.
Carry on joke.
Yeah. And remember, if we don't hear from Dan in a couple of weeks, that will also be because of his wife, because she would have killed him. And I know it's coming. thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, it's been mentioned a few times, so hopefully we'll get a few pennies from them. No, we won't. That's not how it works. I don't know how it all works. But all I do know is if you leave us a review, it helps get the word out, and more people find out about the show. And we desperately love reviews, don't we? Because we're
just needy.
We're just really needy.
iTunes makes no money, so they wouldn't have any to give us.
Mm. Well, there you go. See? And likewise, if you listen to us on Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife. What other networks are we on, Tony?
Poddogging, I think, was one of the ones.
Poddogging. That's cracking, that is. I tell you what, there's a lot more people on there than I thought there would be.
all over the place.
Yes, but definitely get the word out about the show, because much like comics, that's how this show grows and more people find out about great books. So thank you, everyone. Where can people find us online, etc.? Tony?
Ezohyz. neverironanything.blogspot.co.uk is where you'll find a lot of the stuff I've talked about today. There you go.
Nice. Dan?
I'm on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com, which starts updating again this Friday.
Get in. There you go. And you can find me on Twitter at Jester Diablo, and you can find out more about my comic at theredmaskfrommars.com. Pete, thank you again. Where can people find you, etc.?
People can find me at Comic House on Twitter. Facebook is /Comic House and info@comichouse.com if they want to drop me an email.
Cool.
Brilliant stuff. And we want to see more people reading that app.
Red Mask and Vanguard are both on Comic House.
They are.
Yeah, and some of my stuff on
and some of Tony's stuff.
Yeah, we're there. You can't get rid of us, people.
And in the Comic House anthology as well.
Yes, no escaping you.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds terrifying.
It is.
Yeah, it is. So there you go, folks. Another fantastic show in the bag. Hope you all have a brilliant week. Now, before we all sign off, I'm going to read out one more letter.
Yes.
From Viz. Yeah. And I think this pretty much sums up how we all feel about just everything in general. Okay. And this one comes from Ornithopter Wang from Silver Spring.
Oh, God.
People often say stuff about things, but I have to disagree with them because of a number of various reasons. Have a brilliant week, folks. From Dan, Tony, Pete and myself. As always, stay awesome. See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
And just like that, we're done.
Look at us doing the professional ending there. Yeah. Fucking hell. sounds like we planned it.
I know. It's just happy accidents.
It only took 132 weeks.
Yeah.